I'm so sorry. All right. I'm just kidding. It's going to be better. All right. So anyway, Bishop Landon, if you would come forward, let's give him a great welcome, Shinkatig welcome this morning.
Man, it's so good to be here this morning. Can you hear me out there? All right, good. So great to be here, and it is just a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, about a week and a half. Is it 2 weeks now? It goes by so fast, you know. She's got her doctorate, and the first day, she's like, you know, just for today, Dr. Roberts, okay? I'm like, Lorinda, you ready to go? She said, no, that's Dr. Roberts. I'm like, all right, this is how it's going to be. But we are honored to be here today. We're honored to be in Shinkatig with Pastor Stanley. Thank you so much for the invitation and the welcome that all of you have had. I've seen so many smiling faces today. Thank you so much. And what a beautiful day it is. Even though the clouds and the rain are out there, how many of you know it's beautiful because the Lord is here this morning? Amen? Amen. And what a great day. I love what David said when in the scriptures, he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we are here this morning, and what a wonderful job your worship team did. Can we give them a wonderful hand? Amen. So I'm excited today to be able to just share with you for a few moments. Let me just take a few moments to just brag on the church. I love this church. I've been down here before a while back, and we kind of visited, and I always wanted to get back here to be able to have the opportunity to speak. And so I'm very honored and humbled to be able to be with you today. And so thank you so much for just, we're going to take some time together, and we're going to look at a few things in Scripture that are going to be, I think, a wonderful experience for us today to be able to look in God's Word. How many of you know God's Word brings life? Yeah. It brings change. Yeah. It brings hope. Yeah. And it matters. Yeah. Things matter. Today, I really want to talk to you about the theme or the idea, this question, what really matters? What really matters? Now, when we think about this question, some things matter differently to different people. One thing might really matter to you, but somebody else probably don't care anything about what matters to you. You know, and so you know, there's all kinds of different matters. If you're in here and you're in your twilight years, you know, you're in your older age, and you know what matters to you is being healthy, being strong, being able to get, you know, from day in and day out. Hey, next month, you know, I want to be strong. Next year, I want to be around in 2019. I want to be around in 2025. But every day matters. I want to be strong. I want to have strength. I want to be able to get around. I want to be able to be just continue to live this life that God has given me. That matters to me. But then there are those in their middle ages, you know, they're students or their kids or their children have gone on to college, and all of a sudden they've entered this phase in their life. It's a wonderful phase. It's called empty nest. How many of you remember empty nest? And everybody said, amen. We're almost there. And I do want to take this moment to say it is great to be here with my wife. We've been married 21 years. I have two boys, Dylan and Caden. And Dylan is at SCU in Lakeland, Florida, so we have one more in the house. I'm sorry, Lorinda. We want him to be there as long as he wants to. But there's going to come a day where there's going to be empty nest. But what really matters is that I want my children to be successful. What really matters to me is that in this time of, you know, we entering this phase in our lives where it's empty nest, you know, it's a new experience. It's kind of exciting. But, you know, there are some people that, you know, they can identify with that. But a lot of people, they're not there yet. So it really might matter to me, but it might not matter to somebody else. But then you have a young adult, they're just getting fresh in life, they're coming out of college, and they're experiencing jobs, and they're experiencing, looking at their career, and they're excited about possibly how much money they might make or how little money they might make, or, you know, they're excited about starting family. And so these things matter to them, these relationships and all these things. And then teenagers, wow. A lot of things matter. Everything. I taught middle school. Amen. Pray for me. But, you know, I'm done with it. I've moved through that phase of my life. But I taught middle school, and everything mattered to them. But you know what? One thing that I really found out is in today's message, I want to talk to us, no matter where we are on life's age scale, where we are in life, whether we're older or younger, what generation we're in or what generation we're coming up in or whatever, the key is these are the things that matter no matter where we are in our lives. These are the things that really matter. How many of your marriage matters to you? Amen. Your church matters to you. Amen. You know, our finances matter, right? They matter. They matter. But listen, God, there are some principles in Scripture that I want to share with us today. It matters. Billy Graham was one of the greatest evangelists of all time. And one of the things about Billy Graham is he's always stayed true to the message as an evangelist that you can be saved. When everything else in the world changed over many decades, he stayed very consistent in knowing what really mattered in life. Can I tell you today, before we get started, before we dive into this, one thing that matters most today is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He paid it all for your life. He paid it all. No matter where you are on the scale, no matter where you are in life, Jesus paid it all, and He gave everything today, and He loves you. And Billy Graham never wavered from that. Even though he went through different presidents, 12 different presidents, even though he went through many different seasons, he started in the 50s and he died in 2018. He saw so many things over his lifetime, but he never got away from what really mattered. So let's look at the scripture today in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. It says this. It says, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out in the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying that time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus calls the first disciples, and when he was passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, praying in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were mending the nets. And immediately he called out to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and also followed him. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful today for all that your goodness and your love toward us, Father. Today we ask, God, that you would just continue to pour out your Spirit in this time and in the season that we're in. And Lord, today help us to just be able to look in these scriptures and see, Lord, what really matters today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'm going to be going to share with you a message that's expository in a lot of ways. We're going to just kind of reflect and look in the scriptures and see how it relates to what really matters. And the first thing I want to share to you today, something that really matters in our life, is this: is that we are pleasing to God in the ordinary events of life. Every single day, what really matters is that in the ordinary situations, in the ordinary mundane activities of life, we focus on pleasing God. You know, Jesus, it's not about what Jesus did before this particular portion of Scripture. In verses 9 and 10, it's talking about when Jesus came to John in the river. It said he had come from a particular place. It said he had come from Nazareth. All his life he had lived in Nazareth. It's not what Jesus had done, it's what he did not do. He hadn't done it, he hadn't spoken his first message yet. He hadn't performed his first miracle. He hadn't done all that, but he was just simply obedient to his Father. It wasn't that he had done so many great things, but it was just simply because he was obedient in his life. All he was a carpenter's son. Can I tell you, no matter where we are in life, we're not just this or just that. I believe that when we walk with God, we are right in the center of his will. If we will just look to him and say, Lord, I just want to be in the center of your will, God will lead us. And Jesus was his father's son. Now, his father was a carpenter. His father was a carpenter, and Jesus, it was mentioned, known that he worked day in and day out with his father, being a carpenter. Now, back then, it wasn't about wood. It was more about stones. But every day, he grinded the stone, literally, to be the carpenter. It wasn't about the great things that he could see down the road or the great things that he had done. It was just simply that he pleased God every single day doing the ordinary thing of being a good son and doing what was right before the eyes of his father. Can I say today what really matters with us is that we do what's right every single day in the ordinary events of life. That matters. Because the world looks at us, the world sees us as the body of Christ, and we can be that example to them. You know what? We please God no matter what event it comes our way. And that's where we are today. And so what really matters is that we please God in the ordinary events of life. So today I want to encourage us in this room that we become all that God has called us to be. And I'm looking for my message, if you want to know the truth, because it went away. it went bye-bye. So, this is where you got to know your stuff, right? What really matters? It is pleasing the Lord in the ordinary things of life. You know, one thing that's really important to me is pleasing my wife in ordinary events of life. Seems kind of simple, doesn't it? But, hey, taking out the trash is a big deal. She came home one time. This is where you revert to storytelling a little bit. One time I came home, or she came home, and I was in the kitchen, and I was doing dishes. That was good. That was a good, why? Because it pleased her that I was just doing something very ordinary. To her, it was an ordinary activity throughout the day, but it was just an ordinary thing that was taking place in the house. But because I did it, she didn't ask me to do it. She didn't call me from work, or she didn't call me from being out buying groceries. It was just something I did it was pleasing to her. It was just something, it wasn't that many dishes. And I had to scrape the crust off the pan. I hate that. I can't stand when the cake, it gets caked up on the dish and you gotta just kind of grind. I did it. But you know what? She came in and she said, you know what? That means the world to me. Thank you so much. You know, when we do the ordinary things in life, you know, it's not that we're asked to do it. It's just because we love God and we want to do it. It's just because, you know what? He is a God who's done so much for me, and I just simply want to please him. It's not about God just asking me to do something. So many times I'm like, God, just tell me. If you will just tell me, I'll do it. What about if I just did it? Sometimes we just gotta do it. And man, when he looks at you when you're doing it, he's like, wow, I'm so proud of you. That's a way to go, young man. And that felt pretty good. That day when she walked in, I'm proud of, thank you for doing that. I was like, well, you're welcome. Do you need the trash taken out? I'll go ahead and do it. You don't even need to ask. You know, here you go. You know, why? Because it's pleasing. in the ordinary events of life, it's important that we live. This is how I want to live. I want to live to please Him. Jesus had come to a point at 30 years of age where He was about to be baptized and His life was going to be changed forever. His life was going to be different than it had been up to that point. Do you know it's not the season of when we start, but it's the season of when we're called and the season when we actually begin our mission. What we do every single day along the way. I don't know where you are in your life and your relationship with God, but you may not be, God may have called you to something, but listen, you're still in process and God is still working in your life. Continue to please Him by doing the ordinary things. Keep teaching that Sunday school class. Keep giving that little seed. Keep doing. Keep being. Keep being all that God has called you to be. And as you do it daily, 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 God's going to bless you. The second thing is this. Not only are we pleasing, but we want to follow God even when we are tempted to turn away. This is what really matters. We want to follow the Lord even when we're tempted to turn away. Can I say this about temptation? It's not a sin to be tempted. We are all tempted. The key is that we don't fall into the sin, and that when we are tempted, that we learn that we want to follow God. God, I'm being tempted right now. I'm going through a difficult stage. I'm going through some things in my life, and Lord, I'm just going to follow You. I'm going to commit my mind. I'm going to commit my heart. Lord, I'm going to follow You, even though the temptation comes. And Hebrews 2:14 says that, listen, temptation is not a sin. The enemy is a roaring lion who prowls around, and he's enticing, and he's trying to pull you, and he's trying to pounce on you. But the reality is we don't have to fall into it even though we're tempted. Temptation is real. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation that's been given to us that's not common to man. But God provides for us a way out of that temptation. And so we can follow God at all times and know that we don't have to just go into this, but we can turn away. I love the story of when Joseph was walking through the palace. God had a great purpose for his life. He was to bring the children of Israel out of bondage, and he was to bring these food to the people of Israel during a famine, and he had raised Joseph up for this time. And what a crucial person this was for the nation of Israel and their survival. But one day Potiphar's wife was in the house, and she was attracted to Joseph, and she had evil intent in her heart. Can I tell you? You know, when temptation faces us, you know, a lot of times there's an attention on the end of that. There's something that it leads us away, but there's such a powerful thing that Joseph did that we can learn from today, is that when he came into the presence of that temptation, he did something that was very powerful and very poignant for us today, is that we can turn away from the sin, from the temptation. She was there. She was ready. He may have even been able to get away with whatever would have happened right there. Some people may have never known what could have happened in that palace that day. But that day, Joseph decided, I'm going to follow God no matter what, and I'm going to turn away from this temptation in my life. Now, we all face temptation in here. Temptation's hard. Temptation is difficult. But God will not put anything on you according to what Paul said that we cannot handle and we cannot bear. So follow God no matter what. That's what really matters, is that when temptation comes our way, that we're able to turn away and follow after God. And when we do fall into sin, and we all do, there is a Savior who loves you so much. And that He's willing, no matter if we fall in, He's always there to pick us up. He's that kind of God. He doesn't hold it against you. He doesn't say, you know what? You've done it. That's strike three. You're out of here. He doesn't do that. But he is a God who cares for you and will lift you out of a slimy pit and set your feet back on that rock, which is Jesus Christ. And so that's the second thing, following God when you're tempted to sin. And then the third thing, and I love this one, telling everybody about God's wonderful plan of salvation. If you look in the verse there, it talks about when Jesus is calling the disciples and he's bringing them together, and you know, he begins his ministry, and then he, you know, it says, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee. In verse 14, it says, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. You know what the greatest privilege we have as the church is that we can tell everybody about Jesus. We can tell them everywhere. You know, we used to sing a song in the church, and maybe you sing it sometimes here. Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it everywhere. Tell your neighbor. Tell the person in the next town. Tell the person in the next state. Tell the person in the next country, wherever it needs to be. But you go tell them that I am Jesus Christ, and I love them, and I gave myself for them. That these words are true. These words are just. These words can be depended on. Everything that you find in the Word of God is a word that will transform our lives. It will transform it if we will believe. Go tell it. Yesterday I was in Cleveland, Tennessee, in the last few days. And I met a man there from India. And his name was Victor Raj. Victor Raj was a member of, or a pastor in a church in southern India. And man, we just hit it off. He's a great guy. He was phenomenal, you know. And I was like, Victor, tell me about your church in India. Tell me. He's like, my mission, the thing that I do and the thing that I pray about, the thing that I just want to inspire my people, and we have a program set up to be able to do this for Indians in my country, is we take them on a year-long journey of discipleship. They come to our program for 15 months, and then we graduate them out, and their main purpose is that we train them and we teach them what the Scripture says, and then their mission at the end of 15 months is to go out and tell people everywhere about the love in the grace and the mercy and the miracle working power of God and what He's done in our lives, and that while we were yet sinners, He died for us, and that, listen, they don't have to die in the place where they are, but listen, there is hope, and that hope is Jesus Christ. He said, but that's the mission and that's the goal, that they go tell everywhere they go throughout India that Jesus Christ is Lord and He is able to save. And He's able to set free. Can I tell you, Hinduism is very powerful in this nation. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm not a missionary to India. I've never been to India. But I caught the passion of that young man because he was telling me about what Jesus was doing in India. Can I tell you, when you begin to share what Jesus is doing in Shinkatig, people will hear and they will experience a move. When the passion is on you, it'll fall on them. Right now, I was looking at Barna Research, and one of the things in 1993, 9 out of 10 Christians felt it was their obligation, it was their duty in order to tell people about Christ. That number today has fallen to 6 to 10. So 90% in 93, only 60% today feel like that this sharing this word and telling people about Christ is really that important for the church. Can I tell you, this is the reason we are here today? Jesus gave us a new heart and a new life. Our mission as the church is go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it in the streets. Go tell it everywhere. Go tell it in the city. Go tell it in the countryside. Go tell it in Jerusalem and Judea and uttermost parts of the world. Why? Because God has made a difference and His Son is the difference. His name is Jesus. And He will make a way where there is no way. So what matters is that we tell others about Christ. How do I do that? Can I tell you, we all have a story in here to tell? Even if you don't, you know, I remember when I was a young person, I was a teenager in youth ministry. And I'm probably going way long. And Lorinda, you just let me know if I'm going too long, please. I was a youth pastor. I didn't know anything about scriptures. I was just a brand new Christian. I got saved when I was 16. My mom led me to the Lord. I was on a couch in our living room, and a revival was taking place at our church, and just couldn't get over it. That night, I knocked on my mom's door. Mom, I've got to know this Jesus. I've got to know him. I mean, this evangelist is coming by telling me all about Jesus, and I need him. Mom's, she's like, oh, okay, you know. She's half awake, half asleep. She's kind of looking at me. She sat down on the couch with me, and she began to share the story of Christ. And she looked me square in the eyes. My mom was a single-parent mother. My dad and her were divorced when I was very young. I don't come from the perfect family, but listen, I have a perfect God. And he had a perfect plan, and it's continuing to play out all these years later. But mom sat down with me on that couch, and she looked at me, and she said, Landon, this will be the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. But once you make it, you've got to tell everybody else about it, because it will transform your life and it's going to transform other people's lives if you'll take it seriously. And I looked at her and I said, yes, ma'am, I'll do it. And she began to speak her voice. My mama could pray. Did you have a parent that could pray in here, or a grandparent that could pray? You know what I'm talking about? That's my mama. She'll call up sometimes, you know. She it's very interesting where she's at now, but she would call up sometimes, Landon, I'm praying for you, and this is, you know, I believe the Lord is saying this in Scripture over your life. She began to pray, and I felt the transformation of God take place in my life. But I didn't know Scripture. But I remember sitting in that youth room, and my youth pastor said, you got a story to tell. You've got a story. What has God done in your heart? I'm going to help you to put this together. In about a minute and a half, I could share my testimony of how God had brought me up in an alcoholic's home. There was domestic violence that took place. My parents had divorced. But by the grace of God, he still has me here today. He came and he showed himself to me, and my life was changed forever. Listen, I don't know where you are in life, but when we begin to share the story of Jesus, you don't know who it's going to impact. My mom right now, she's got throat cancer of all things. And she's got to have a laryngectomy in a few weeks, taking her voice completely away. But can I tell you this? She still prays. She still cries out to God. And a few weeks ago when she had her trachotomy, is that how you say it? Tracheotomy, thank you. She has a hole in her voice right here, and she was just mouthing to me. Can I tell you, there is a generation that's out there right now. There is a world, you may not even hear their voice, but they're just saying, tell me the story. We live in a world that needs to hear the story of Jesus. And the thing that I know about myself, it's got to be fresh in me before I can make it fresh to everybody else. And so I come here today and say, this really matters. This really matters. Let's tell others about the love of God. Tell them that he can make a way where there seems to be no other way right now. Listen, I'm still believing for healing in my mom. She may have a hole in her neck, but I'm still believing because there's cancer there. See, that's where it all started. There's cancer. And we were praying, God, don't let it have spread throughout her body. So you know what? It's contained right here, and we're believing this laryngectomy is going to help her to where it's all the way. She'll have that little electronic voice. And she'll be able to have a voice. It may not be her own voice, but you know what? God knows our voice, even if it's a mechanical voice, even though it may be a soft voice or a loud voice. It may just be a quiet whisper. But when you whisper to God, it's like a sound of trumpets in heaven, because he hears everything you cry out to him. The fourth thing, my goodness, let's tell others about Christ. Live as a disciple of Jesus Christ. living, that matters. And if I can have music, is there anybody that plays for me? If I could have somebody come up. Living as a disciple. This is where Jesus comes to the disciples, or to the men in the Sea of Galilee. This is before they became his disciples. And he went to several different men, and the scripture says, and that he went to Andrew, and he went to John, and he went to all these, and he said, he spoke to them, and he said, come follow me. Come follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now, there were some things that were very important there, because it was a laying down of their lives. It was a letting go of everything that they found familiar and saying, Lord, I don't understand everything that's coming my way, but all I know that today when you call, I'm going to follow. He made the call of discipleship to these guys to live as a disciple. And they laid everything down. Did that mean they never went back to fish? They fished every now and then, but it wasn't their occupation anymore. Their occupation, their focus in life was Jesus Christ and Him alone. Can I tell you, no matter where you are in life, that's what matters, Jesus Christ and Him alone. And the things that we do around us. God has just given us the provision we need by these things, but we are to live in Christ alone. So God, if I'm in the grocery store, Lord, I want to honor you. Lord, if I'm in the business place or the marketplace, Lord, I want to honor you. Lord, if I'm in the restaurant, I want to honor you. Because I'm your disciple. It was a call to discipleship. The meaning was, is I have to lay everything down and follow him. But the rewards are, man, look what the rewards are. Not only do you get to see the miracles, not only do you get to see the transformations, but in time, there are going to be 12 gates in heaven, and you are going to be on the... Listen, we're going to be with the Lord in the air one day. We're going to be with Him. That's the reward of discipleship. That's the reward of where we are today, is that we get to be with Jesus. And that's what matters. Everything else... It's important, I agree. There are things that are important, but what matters the most is that you become a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. Lay it all down and receive the reward that He has for you. There are rewards here, and there are rewards in the age to come, because He has said it in His Word, and He is true, and He's never gone against His Word. Let's stand together today. Lord, it really matters. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, in this place right now, Lord, we want to, Lord, we just turn our eyes and our hearts towards you. If you're in this place, just lift your hands all over this room. Just begin to worship Him. Thank you, Lord. Worship matters today. Worship matters. It matters today. The words in this Bible are true. It matters. It matters that we are a holy people set apart for God. It matters when we sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It matters when you come into the house of the Lord. It matters when you come together in prayer. It matters that you are an example to those all around you of what Christian discipleship is all about, and living the Christ life. It matters. It matters. So today I want to just invite you. Maybe you're in here. You say, Pastor, there's some things going on in my life, and it just seems like God has not been there. Just some things are struggling. I want you to know God is here today, and He said, you know what? It matters. If it matters to you, it matters to Him. It may not matter to a lot of people because they're not in the same place you are, but it doesn't mean that God doesn't know where you are, and it matters to God. And as long as it matters to God, that's what's most important today. And there's some of us in here, we need a relationship with Jesus Christ, fresh and new. If you're in this place today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord, and I want to know Him as my Savior. I can't go on in a service without doing this. I want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't want to put it off any longer. Can I say this? It matters. It matters today that you make a decision for Jesus, to follow Him, to answer the call of discipleship in your life. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I want to know, Lord, that Jesus Christ is my Savior, will you just lift your hands in this place? Anybody in this room today? Praise the Lord. Thank you. There's two in the back. Thank you so much. Three in the... Excellent. Thank you. Anybody else? Hallelujah. That's why we're here. Somebody in here today, you're struggling with your faith. It matters. It matters today. It matters. You're struggling your faith, and you say, Pastor, I need prayer. I've been struggling with some things in my life. I'm struggling with some areas of my life, and I just want to just lay it all down and just completely follow after the Lord. I want to lay it down today. If that's you, just lift your hand right where you are. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can we just be... Once again, we're gonna start the music, okay? In just a second. This is what I want to do. If you need prayer of any way, shape, or form, I'm gonna pray a simple prayer first over those who have lifted their hands, and then afterwards we're gonna start worship. If you want to come up and pray at that time, I want to invite you. But as you come, this is what I want you to come and do. Whatever you need, God is here. If you have need of anything, the Lord will meet you in these altars. He's that kind of God. He's a good God. But maybe you're struggling with some things. Maybe you're dealing with some things that you don't want anybody to know, and that's fine. But you just want to live a life that matters. You want to live a life that matters. You want to be that disciple Christ has called you to be. Make your way down. If you're struggling with something, make your way down. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for those that are here this morning that have lifted their hands, Father. I pray right now, Lord, that as we pray together as a congregation, Lord, that you will just help them to feel the peace and the release of Jesus Christ in their heart and the salvation that comes from you today in Jesus' name. So those, if you will, all together around this place right now, just follow after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. My life matters today. I pray that you'll forgive me of my sins, that I will embrace a relationship with you. I love you. I give my life to you. And now what matters to me matters to you. And what matters to you matters to me. I am saved. I am set free. I lay it all down. And I embrace discipleship in Jesus' name. If you love the Lord, can you give Him a big hand clap of praise? Now this is what we're going to do. We're going to start playing music, and I don't want you to let this time go by. If you want prayer, you need prayer, whatever it is, these altars are open today. So we're going to go right now, if you will. Thank you. Yes. If you're in here today and you want to help us pray, you want to come and partner behind those that are up here, I would love to invite you just to agree together in prayer. Come and let's just lay hands on those. If you feel comfortable to help us pray up here, I would like to invite you up today. There's power when we lay hands on one another, and there's power when we pray for one another. So I want to encourage you, if you would like to come at this time and just join with your brothers and sisters in Christ to pray, let's come forward, if you will. Thank you, Lord.
Have you been encouraged this morning? Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much. The word, the powerful, you know, I stand here today, and it was great for me to be able to sit there today and to be fed. And understanding what truly matters when it comes to God. What matters when it comes to us and pursuing that relationship daily. Not overlooking the little things and continue to pressing on toward what God has for the purpose, the plan, and his perfect will for your life. So as you leave here, I encourage you to continue to pursue. Don't let anything interrupt. Don't ever stop going after more of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. And God, thank you for this day. Those, Lord, who are continually seeking you, God, I encourage them to continue to do so. But Father, we love you for the word that you've given us. We love you for all that you've done in our lives and all that you're going to continue to do. God, as we leave this place, Lord, you've equipped us with your word and with instruction, with challenge. May we go after that, Lord, and run that race, as Paul said, not giving up. So God, the psalmist says, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart and to be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. And every gift and giving that will be given to you today, every tithing, Lord, may it be given with a joyful heart that we will continue to grow the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen and amen. We love you guys. We'll see you this week.